sister, and I said, well, there's a resemblance. They are truly a wonderful family, and it's great to see that kind of gifting. Well, we are going to start off by talking a little bit about the Get Connected service before we move any further. We have what we call the Circles of Discipleship, and Pastor Sean and different ones of us have been kind of pushing you guys through them and reminding you of them. And today we want to focus on the Circle of Discipleship called Get Connected. Now, the Get Connected part means you connect with the body, okay? Get connected with people inside the body. One of the things I've learned over the years of walking with the Lord is that I can't do it alone. Amen? If you try to do it alone, what happens? I recently watched a documentary on the war. It was just called The War, about World War II. And one of the things when the bombers were going to go and they're going over top of in Europe over the Germany and dropping the bombs, they would huddle together because they had a much better chance of surviving and being able to fight off attacks if they were together. And I can tell you that it's a recipe for disaster when a Christian walks away or pushes away the body. I've done that and I've experienced that. So getting connected is really important. Now, this Get Connected service that we're going to have next Sunday, it's actually a meeting. It's October 20th. It'll be Sunday night at 5 o'clock here at the church. This is if you're interested in membership in the church. If you want to know a little bit more about what we believe, what our church is all about, membership, we'd love to have you come. We're going to have a bunch of people here that will talk to you. Most of the elders will be talking a little bit about different parts of what we believe and such. And we'll also have finger foods. That's food that's shaped in fingers. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're coming hungry, you might leave hungry. So so make sure you use discretion there. So, Kate, remind me that my phone's up here, okay? Yeah. My wife left me on Monday, by the way. Fortunately, she comes back tomorrow night, but she left me Monday, so. If you have your Bibles or your phones, I have to say that now, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts in this series that we have been going through that we have titled Acts of the Sent Ones. And today we're going to be talking about testifying to God's power. Now, for those who weren't here last week, shame on you. I don't care if you're in the Bahamas, man. I don't care, buddy. You should have still showed up. There's flights, daily flights. So last week, Pastor Sean talked about boldness and being bold for Jesus. And it was a wonderful message, and it talked about how John and Peter were bold. They spoke boldly to the same people that had crucified Jesus Christ not that many days before. Okay? And they spoke boldly. So it was a wonderful message, and it's going to tie directly in with what we're talking about here. So the scene, just so you know, the setting of the scene here is that Peter and John were arrested, and they were brought before the ruling council, the Jews, the Sanhedrin, and they were chewed up. Say, you can't talk about Jesus, whatever. And what did they say? Did anybody remember how they responded back? They said, we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep talking. Remember, they could have had their lives snuffed out at this time. They could have gone through the same thing that Jesus did, but they spoke boldly. So now we're going to pick up the story in Acts 4, beginning in verse 23. So let's go ahead and read this. Acts 4, beginning in verse 23. On their release, so Peter and John have just been released from prison. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, I like that it said they went back to their own people. Isn't it interesting, that phrase in the NIV? It's like saying they went back to their people, the place they belonged. I just found that really cool. When they heard this, the people, the church, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And this is what they said. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Quote, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. He's quoting Psalms chapter 2. And he's basically saying, hey, listen, why do they even try? Why do they lift their hand against the anointed one? And of course, the anointed one was talking about Jesus. And that John and Peter were representatives of Jesus, of course. Let's continue on in verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate. By the way, Herod was the king, right? He was the king of the Jews at the time. And then, of course, Pontius Pilate was representing the Roman Empire. So he identified both rulers, both entities. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city. Basically, he said everybody was against Jesus. Okay? There was nobody that was in his corner except for the one that really mattered. To conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. That's pretty powerful too, right? And no matter what evil people have intended against you, if it happens, God's chosen it to happen. I mean, he's allowed it to happen. I love the phrase that says, nothing surprises God or takes God by surprise. Everything in your life. Nothing takes him by surprise. You know, he'd be terrible watching a movie with, wouldn't he? You're trying to figure it out, and he's like, don't you see this? And I've already seen this. It would be hard to watch a movie with him. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now look what happens. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Boldly. What we're going to focus on today is testifying and the power of testimony. And the reason why I want to focus on this is because this is something that's going to begin happening more and more in our church, because it is an effective, powerful tool to encourage. We're going to go through all the reasons why we do this, but it's a tool that is so powerful in the life of a Christian that to not do it is basically not to glorify God. Okay? So let's pull up a couple things about this scripture that I want to bring out. There's some important elements I want to bring out to make sure we understand this before we talk about the power of testimony. The first thing we see in this whole example is that a believer testified what God did. Peter and John came back, and they couldn't help but get with the people that they loved, the body of believers, and share what God did. Does that ever happen to you? Has it ever happened to you when God does something really powerful in your life and you just can't wait to share it? Why? Why? It's good news. My question back would be, why not? We are designed to be able to share God's power and what God's doing in our life. We're designed that way. We need to. I remember my dad and I were really close, and towards the end of his life, we used to, you know, something big would happen, he would be the first person I want to talk to other than my wife. I'd call him up. I'd say, Dad, guess what? You know, if I got a new job or I got a raise or something, I'd always call my dad up, and I'd want to share it. Well, your Father in heaven wants you to share with him and then share with everybody else what's happened and what's with the powerful things that have happened. So that's what they did, and they couldn't help it. The other thing that I think is very important, if you'll notice, is that the church was of one mind, because it says they lifted their voices up together. They were of one mind and one spirit. Now, does that mean that they agreed on everything, on what color the carpet should be and, you know, what song was their favorite song? No. They were of one mind and one purpose. They knew what they were there for. They knew what they were called to do, and they knew what God had done in their life. And therefore, they were going to rejoice when other people were rejoicing. There was no division. And I love this. When they heard the testimony of John and Peter, what was their natural response? They praised God. They praised him. They praised him. They couldn't help but praise him. And it even says they lifted their hands and their voices. They praised him. It was a natural outflowing of seeing God work in the lives of people that were believers and people that they knew. And that means, of course, the focus wasn't on John and Peter, was it? The focus wasn't on John and Peter. The focus was on God. And that's something we'll bring out when we start talking about testimonies. When this happens, God responds. When you testify to God's power and what God has done in your life, or something you have seen, or the hand of God has moved, God responds. He can't help but respond because God is love. And God loves his children. Not that long ago, we had an amazing testimony from our pastor who got up here and told you that his mother had been healed of cancer. Yeah. I could not even fathom not having that shared in church. This is where we need to share it. This is where it needs to be shared. And we're going to talk about the power of that here in a minute. But God responds to the praises of his people. He responds. And here's some of the ways he responds. He responds to the praises. He responds to their acknowledgement that it was him, not them. Okay? And he responded to the requests for boldness and power. You notice that they didn't say, God, keep giving us all these good things. They didn't say, God, protect us from the bad guys. They didn't say any of that. Look what they said. They responded by saying, God, give us more power and more boldness so we can go out. I think that's significant because sometimes we can get into very selfish prayers. Oh, I'm so bad at that. You know, you still work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and all. I want to work on this problem. God showed me this. And pretty soon I find myself praying just for me. Oh, God, I really got to get through this. I got to get past this. And, you know, and pretty soon I'm like, I've just prayed for 20 minutes about me. There's a song, a country song. By the way, you know what happens when you play a country song backwards, right? You get your wife back. You get your dog back. You get your truck back. I play country music. I can say that. I think I lost track. Now, the country song by this, I can't remember the artist, you guys don't know it, but he says, I want to talk about me, I want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my. His girlfriend was always talking about her, right? So he says, I want to talk about me. But isn't that the way we are? We always want to talk about us, even to God, and there's a place for that. But I challenge you to spend 30 minutes on your knees talking about somebody else. Ooh, that's hard. But it's very rewarding. That's why we have prayer warriors. I love them because they know how to pray for other people. And it's funny how when you're praying for other people, God responds to help you with your stuff, your junk, so to speak. Okay, brethren, it should be our natural reaction to want to share the amazing moves of God in our lives or the move of God that we have witnessed. It should be a natural, and I say natural, it's motivated by the Holy Spirit. It should be a natural reaction to want to share. Now, I can tell you that I'm going to challenge you a little bit. One of the challenges that we have sometimes is that we haven't seen God move in our lives. And what I mean by that is, if you're walking with God and you're seeking him and he's responding to you, you will have a testimony to give. It may be a humbling testimony that God has maybe through just walking with him and praying and asking him to help you with things, and suddenly he's revealed something to you that's ugly, and it's something you didn't want to deal with, but you knew as you began walking through that the other side was beautiful. Some of the most powerful testimonies are the testimonies of the times we were at the bottom and how God dragged us up from the bottom and brought us to a point of forgiveness, a point of restitution with friends, relatives, and of course, redeeming us from our sins. Okay? It's you have to have God working in your life to do that. And I'll simply ask you the question, If you don't have a testimony, ask yourself why. If you can seriously look back 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks and say, well, I just don't really see anything in my life. And I'm not saying you had to, you know, shoot somebody. And it doesn't have to be always bad. It can be just watching something happen. It can be that you were at the right place at the right time to give a word to somebody at work and it changed their reality because God used you as a tool. That's a testimony, guys. That is when you can see. I was recently talking to one of the people from our life group, and she was talking about just this amazing way that God's been talking to her recently. And her face was just glowing as she was talking about it. And I thought to myself, wow, this person is a walking, talking testimony. Because they see God in almost everything that we're doing in their life. And they saw that. We have to look at that. How many of you are familiar with that the story where Jesus healed or cast out the demons out of that guy? Typically, it's called the demoniac of. I always get the word wrong. What's that? Genesari? Sounds like Buenos Aires. Anyways, Jesus comes across in this boat, and there's this guy, and he's bad news, right? He's broken chains. This guy's bad news. And Jesus walks up to him and basically casts out demons. Even talks to the demon. It was a demon called Legion. Casts all these demons out of him into these pigs, and the pigs run into the ocean and drown. Well, the response from that man was pretty powerful. And in Luke 8:39, this is what that Jesus tells this man. This is what he tells him. Because this man wants to hang with Jesus now, right? We're talking about hanging with Jesus, right? He wants to hang with Jesus. Kind of like this man that was healed that got Peter and John in all this trouble. He was literally hanging on Peter and John. But listen, this is what Jesus said. Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And I can imagine the people in the city seeing him running down the street. Remember, most of the time he was naked, hanging outside the street. They see him running down the street, they're probably like, he got loose. And thinking he's going to start beating people up again and whatever. And what's he do? He says, I'm free. Demons are gone. Jesus of Nazareth did this. And he's got this testimony. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care who's listening to him or who thinks he's nuts. He's going to share it. That should be the response that we have when God does something powerful in us. So I put together an acronym. I don't do acronyms a lot. I told Sean I put an acronym together. He said, you put an acronym together for testimony? I said, no, we'd be here all day for that. No, I put an acronym together for the word declare. Okay? So we're going to walk through this real quickly, and then we're going to do some really fun stuff. Did I spell it right? Yeah. By the way, I want to make a note here. If you'll notice on my shirt, I've got my name badge, and it says Scott the Princess. I didn't write that. I trusted two of our younger teens, and I shouldn't have. And I promise I won't do it again. Joy. Mara. Yeah, we'll pray for you guys later on. All right, declare. What's the power of declare? The D stands for displays. A testimony displays God's power. It absolutely does. And you know, you've heard this before. Nobody can take away your testimony, right? Nobody. When you stand in front of somebody, when Sean stands in front of somebody or Sean's mom and says, I was healed of cancer or my mom was healed of cancer, can anybody say, no, she wasn't? Good luck telling them that, by the way. It displays God's power. And it displays his power to us in the body. And it displays his power to those that you run across, that you interact with. It's a powerful thing that we have when God's moved in our life and we see it clearly. It displays his power. The E stands for encourages. How many times, and I really do want you to put your hands up, how many times have you listened to somebody give a testimony and walked away encouraged? Absolutely. How can we not be? When we see the faithfulness of somebody. I think oftentimes when we interact with each other, it's really interesting that God does these little divine appointments, and he hooks people up. People that have been through something that's really hard, and he like points you in the same direction as somebody else who's been hurt that way or gone through that same thing. He does that, and that's encouraging. And by the way, your testimony, most of the time it's done one-on-one, right? Right? It's done one-on-one, where you're sitting down and you're telling someone, this is what happened to me. This is where I was. And I think I can relate to where you are. But look, and this is what the end story looks like. Oh, it's great. When people are at the bottom, we've all been at the bottom, right? When people are at the bottom, they need to see the end story. They need to see what it looks like on the other side. And a lot of times we say, well, I've been praying that God would just help me through and help me see that. Maybe the reason he put that person next to you is because he's going to use that person to tell you the end story and to encourage you and pull you off and out of the mire that you're in. It encourages. It also convicts. The C stands for convicts. It convicts those that need God, or maybe those that are trying to get through something on their own, or maybe those that haven't been trusting God. It convicts. I have heard people's testimony and said, my goodness, that's what I need to have that faith. I need to be doing exactly that. One of the reasons we have different people come up here and teach on the offering, and offerings are primarily their teaching and their testimony. Because sometimes our money is one of those things that we just don't want to let go of. And we think, I got to take care of this myself, God. Can't tithe this month because, you know, we had the car break down and I had to put new head gaskets on it. And God, I just don't have the money this month. I'm going to keep a hold of that. Well, wait a second. Someone comes up here and says, you know, everything was going wrong and I had 25 different places to put that money. And I said, no, God, it's not my money. It's yours. I'm going to give it. And God showed up. It convicts those that hear that to say, you know what? I need to trust God too. I need to trust God too. Testimonies also lifts. It lifts God's name up in the presence of other people. As if you haven't figured out yet, one of the things, we are a church, a praying church. We're becoming more and more of a praying church. And we're also a church of praise. And when you pray and praise God, you are lifting his name up many times. You're lifting his name up. You're glorifying him. This is something that cannot be missing from a believer's life. Praise to God. Lifting his name up. Your automatic response when you hear that Sean's mother was healed from cancer, the way you all started clapping, that's exactly what we need to do. And what do we do when we praise God? Praise the Lord, Steve. There we go. By the way, we tease Steve Coles, runs our youth program, and Steve always says, praise the Lord. He's not faking that, guys. He truly praises the Lord. If it becomes just a phrase to you, then don't say it. But he truly praises God. That's the way we need to be. I love when people say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I love it, especially if they mean it. If they don't mean it, then it just gets annoying. But most of the people I hear, they mean it. The A stands for advancing God's kingdom. When you testify about what God did in your life or something you witnessed, you are advancing the kingdom of God on earth. You're advancing his kingdom because you are laying out there what he is doing on this earth. And that's a powerful, powerful thing to do. And I would tell you that it's a Great Commission thing that you are supposed to do. You know, sometimes, again, we live in a selfish society, so I understand why we're given to this. But we want to make it all about us. Well, God pulled me out of this because he just loves me. And it's just for me. And it's my little testimony. And I'm going to keep this testimony just for me. Are you kidding me? Matthew 28 talks about the Great Commission. And he talks about preaching the good news, the gospel. Well, the good news is, of course, Jesus Christ is crucified and raised from the dead and paid the penalty for our sins. That is good news. But the good news is that he then works in the lives of the believers, and your most powerful testimony is not how well you can plan or say the whole plan of salvation. Your most powerful tool in your quiver is how you can say, God did this with me. This is how he intervened in my life. This is how he transformed my life from where I was before to where I am today. That is powerful, and we need to say hallelujah to that. Because if we don't, maybe he hasn't really transformed us. I can't stand when people try to be cool. I don't think Peter, John, I don't think any of these guys were cool. You know, just kind of, God changed my life. Come on, jump up and down and dance. God's changed your life. He's transformed you. He's given you eternal life. Do we really even understand that? He's given us these things. He's walked us through this so we can take the lid off and share it with everybody else. Oh, if we don't do it, I don't see why he'd want to continue to do it for us. The R stands for reveals. It is literally a revelation of God to the people that hear. And specifically to unbelievers. I have a relative that is not a believer, and they're rather vocal about not being a believer, and he and I sometimes get into little discussions on Facebook. And it's funny because he's an intelligent person, does a lot of reading and all that stuff, and he's an atheist. But anytime we have a discussion, and I don't go too far down the line, but I will usually end up by saying, well, this is what God's done for me. You can't argue against that. And I know that what I do, as long as I do it with the right heart and without, you can't really argue, but you can put God out there, is that I'm revealing to him God, because it's my life. And he loves me, and he knows me, and we have a relationship. And it's my responsibility to reveal that. By the way, I don't reveal it because it's my responsibility and I feel guilty about it. Make sure don't do it out of that. Don't walk out of here and find your to-do list at home and say, give a testimony at least 2 times a week. If you're doing that, you're missing the point. I talk to him about God because I want to talk to him about God, and I want him to experience what I've experienced. The last E, we have two E's, the last E is it energizes. I think we've already talked about that. Your response to even me mentioning the fact that Sean's mother was healed from cancer was that it just there was an automatic outflow of excitement. It energizes people. It energizes us because it says to us, yes, God is working here. God is working today. And I need to continue to have faith, and I need to walk forward, and I myself want to experience God working that way. And we're going to have a testimony by somebody today that just walks in faith. I just love the way she walks in faith. And literally, it's just when I see someone walking in that kind of faith, I get so excited. And it just energizes me and say, yes, Lord, I want to walk in that kind of faith. I don't want to have any doubts. Like this person just walks forward, just steps off the cliff, and God's always there to catch her. That's what I want. That's what I want to experience. So it energizes us. Now I'm going to turn this off. I want somebody to go through each one and tell me what it was. No, I'm not going to make you do that. I don't expect you to memorize this acronym, but it wouldn't hurt you to memorize it. Because what it would do is it would constantly remind you and me about why we are told not to be mute when it comes to what God does in our lives. Now, here's what the response is going to be today. For those who are here for the first time or haven't come very often, we normally have a response. And we usually sacrifice goats and things up here, but today's response will be different. I'm joking about that just to make sure it doesn't get on Facebook. We're going to respond by actually playing a little bit of God's highlight reel. How many people here know who Barry Sanders is? Oh, a few of us are old. Oh, my goodness. So Barry Sanders was probably the greatest running back there ever was in the NFL. Now, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Who's with me? Thank you, man. I knew I liked you from the moment I saw you. There's a godly man down here playing piano. Emmett Smith has the all-time rushing record for the NFL, but he ran at the same time that Barry Sanders was a runner, and Barry Sanders literally retired at the peak, okay? Barry Sanders was an exciting running back because he would do things that just nobody else could do. He could juke people. You guys know what that juke is, right? You know, he just fake them out. And I literally listened to people give testimonies about, I remember one guy was a safety with the San Francisco 49ers, Ronnie Lott. He was one of the best. And he was talking one time on one of these highlight reels. He said, I've never been made a fool of on the football field except for one time. He said, Barry Sanders broke open, and I had him lined up, and I was running up to him, and he's running up to me. And he said, and he deked me out so bad, he said, my legs just went like this, and I fell down, and he ran past me. He said, I've never felt like such a fool. It was funny. So we're going to do God's highlight reel, because watching a highlight reel of Barry Sanders was exciting, and it was impressive, and it was like, wow, look at that guy. Well, today we're going to do God's highlight reel. You guys in for this? You up for this? So I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to start with a testimony. I've got three different people lined up for testimonies, and if we have time, by the way, I'd like to have more people come up and give testimonies. But what we're going to do is we're going to have somebody give a testimony. They're going to be rather short. Hint, hint. 3 to 5 minutes. You do? Okay. Is it rather short? I tell you what, give us like two or three. Let us get through the songs. I'll invite you up in about probably 10 minutes, okay? Oh. Well, come up here then. Wow. Hey. Fantastic. Amen. Thank you. Oh. Hallelujah. So I'm thinking that you didn't hear a word I said, but you watched the PowerPoints. That's why we have PowerPoints. Hallelujah for PowerPoints. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I love that. I love that. Thank you, Lord. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a testimony, we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to do a worship, okay? Because all these are part of testimony, okay? That's what we're going to do. So I've already talked to Jordan and the band. They're going to go ahead and we're going to start with our first testimony. And I'm going to ask you, as we go through this, I'm going to give you just some really quick instructions about giving a public testimony. By the way, that was a perfect one. Although I didn't know where she was going about the dancing with everybody's wives, husbands. I'm a little worried about that one, but so that ties to the first one. Make sure it's appropriate. Nothing to put in. You did fine. You did fine. I love when I see somebody who's been walking with the Lord all that time, because I know they're not going to say anything inappropriate. You know, I love that. But this is something about just some guidance for doing a public testimony. Do make sure it's not too personal, right? You have to make sure. Because you don't want to, and the other one of the things is you don't want to trigger things in other people either, right? Make sure it's your story to tell. That's important, okay? Don't get up and say, well, I saw Brother Sean drinking heavily one night, and I went up and talked to him, and he repented. Always put the focus on God, not you. Now, I realize if it's your testimony, you're going to have to talk about you, okay? But really, testimony should be of God's power. So how did he change you? How did he rescue you? Or what did he do that was so amazing and great that you saw? Okay? And then, of course, if others are involved, make sure that you have permission to mention their names. You know, kind of going back to the other one. And lastly, give enough detail so that people can understand the context, but don't go into too much detail. That's why I said testimonies don't have to be 10, 15 minutes long. That was a beautiful testimony of about 4 minutes, and it was really powerful. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start. I'm going to come down here. We're going to start with Ken and Cindy. I'm going to ask Ken and Cindy Hubbard to come forward. Now, those of you who know the Ken, you're saying, 4 or 5 minutes? Are you sure? No, I've already told Ken. But Ken and Cindy have been walking with the Lord for many years. And God has moved powerfully in their lives many times. And I asked them to give a testimony. I have no idea what they're going to talk about, but I trust them. Talk to them.
This is about how the Lord got us where he wants us. Do I have permission to talk about you? So we're early 20s, new baby, just married. What do we do now? Oh, I got an idea. We'll go to Bible college. So we go to Bible college. And this was not the place to be. And I started praying, Lord, what's going on? Get us where you want us. I'm going to try to do this real fast. The Lord plucked us up from that place and planted us in this. The Bible college was in Pensacola, so he moved us up to North Alabama to this little church. It was a New Testament church. We didn't even know what a New Testament church was. And the Lord spent about 2 years unteaching us all the stuff that we learned in Bible college. And then began to really build in us a sense of his grace, a sense of who he is, and so forth. But that situation kind of soured because someone who could do so brought some legalism into that situation and kind of straightened it. We left. We moved to Orlando. I did that. And we sort of kind of became unchurched. And I really got off the path severely with disastrous consequences. And we were in serious trouble. And now take it, Cindy.
Serious trouble. We were without a church for 9 years and just went as far away as we could from the Lord. And when we finally, the Lord brought us to the place where we knew we needed to be in a body, we started going to one church in Orlando, and we're pretty happy there. We stayed there about 7 or 8 years, and then they started to go in a direction that we just weren't comfortable going. So we left there. We tried another church for about a year and visited lots of different churches in Orlando. But finally, one day, the idea came to me to Google on New Testament Church. So I did, and what came up was the Master Builder website. And in the Master Builder website, I recognized the names of several men who were associated with our church in Alabama all those years ago. And so I looked a little further, and I found that they had a church here in Umatilla called Gospel Tabernacle. So I emailed the pastor at that time, Buddy Walker, and he told me when to come, and we came. That was in September of 2004, and we've been coming ever since.
We drive an hour to get here, and it's a beautiful drive, but I'm saying that to say this, that we're here because this is where the Lord wants us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I never really, until the idea that the Lord wants us in a particular church, I guess is kind of a different idea, maybe for some people anyway, but we're here because the Lord is doing something here, and I want to just cut to the chase. Could I read? This is Ephesians 4:11 is the beginning. He himself gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry,
yeah,
for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I'll pray now. Lord, hallelujah, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, thank you that we get to be included, Lord, in your purposes, God, in your purposes here in this earth, Lord God, in this world, Lord God. We thank you for the work that you're doing here in this church, Lord God. Lord, that you're preparing us, Lord God, for the work of the ministry, Lord God. Lord, hallelujah, God, make it so, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we'd like to bring someone up here who has agreed to talk and give a testimony. And by the way, sometimes it's hard to give our testimonies in front of people. So I want you guys to be praying for her, because this is tough. But she has a wonderful testimony of what God has done in her life. So I'm going to ask Heather and Rebecca to come up. And Jamie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather. I'm really nervous. I was going to write it down, and I forgot. So God has really worked in my life these last few months. I've struggled with addiction for many years, and God put Rebecca in my life a few years ago. And for the first time in my life, I've had people who love me in a healthy way, and that has been a really great gift for me. God has opened many doors in my life, and I know without God, I would not be where I am today. God is amazing, and he's really just done so much in my life, and he's changing me into a new person in him. I struggled with wanting my old life back for the past couple years, and God just keeps telling me I have a new life in him, and that's just been so amazing.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for opening the door to the Ruth House back for me, so that I can learn how to live a healthy and normal life. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Everybody, reach your hands forward, and Rebecca's going to pray.
Father God, we just come before you now, Lord, and we are so thankful that you have told us in your word that you will take out our heart of stone, and you will replace it with a new heart, a heart of flesh, and we will be made a new man.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you, Father, that you have such an intimate love for us, that you have already written our story, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you have a good plan for Heather's life and for all of our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to get to walk together on this journey. And Lord, I just thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you, Father, that you have plucked us all up out of different places and planted us right here at the Church of Whistling Pines. I thank you, Father, that you have given us such love, and that you just continue to cradle us together and allow us to see you work. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the name of our King. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
You are my all in all, Lord God.
God is a provider, right? And we just have to trust in Him to provide, right? How many here have experienced financial difficulties in the last 6 months? God wants us to trust Him and be obedient to Him. I'm going to ask Rebecca to come up, because this week she told me about an amazing thing that God did for her and for the Ruth House that we just have to share and celebrate.
Good morning, church, again. Please forgive me. I just can't get over when the Lord just changes a life. I just can't get over it. He's so good. This is a really difficult time of year for most churches and most nonprofits. And so we have more month at the end of the month than we do have provision most of the time from now until the first of the year. And so we have just been faithfully praying that the Lord would do something and that we would not have to try and make something happen. So last week on Tuesday, I went into my office and the stack of mail was on my computer, and I began to go through it, and I saw an envelope from a woman that I do not know. I have never met her, and her name did not ring a bell or anything. So I opened up the envelope, and on the inside of the envelope was a $2,000 check and nothing else. No letter, no explanation, nothing. So one more time in our lives, I'm so thankful that the God of all the earth chooses to speak to my heart. And so one more time He said, Rebecca, this is my ministry, and I will provide for it. You just keep doing what I tell you to do. So thank you, Father.
Stretch your hands forward here. Father, we rejoice, God. We rejoice that you are the provider, Father, that you have blessed this wonderful woman and this ministry, God. That's your ministry. It's not hers. It's yours. Lord, we thank you that you provided for her, and may we realize, God, that no matter how bad it looks and no matter what the money looks like at the end of the month, God, you are going to provide. You're going to provide just like you provided for her. Help us to give our lives over to you, to trust you in everything, in our finances as well. And God, that we can just sit back and wait and watch in faith to see what you do to provide for us, Lord. You are the provider. Lord, we rejoice in this testimony, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
None but
God bless you, church. Not too many of you know me. I've only been here for less than a year, but I've been walking with the Lord since Friday the 13th of January, 1976. Or 78, pardon me. Got to get it right. And to say that my life has been a life of testimony is beyond what I can express. I could give you testimonies about healing. I could give you testimonies of what God's done in me and what God's done through me. But the greatest testimony of all is that God has taken me and made me one of his sons. Because there's nothing greater than that. Because the end of the message of Christ is this. It's an invitation for us to come out of the world and become a child of the living God. Nothing else matters. Only that. You know, at the end of John declares that, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I'm here to declare to you today that Jesus is still writing.
Amen.
He's writing in you, and in you, and in me. And each one of us is meant to be a gospel according to Bill, according to Scott, according to Sean, according to each and every one of you. A testimony that God is still alive and walking in this world. That he's still changing lives. My life is still not transformed to where I am the image of Christ. There's still things in my life that he's still working on. But you know something? He's never left me. He's never forsaken me.
Never given up.
I've preached the gospel in Spanish in Puerto Rico. I've preached the gospel in Ireland, in New England. Wherever I've gone, I've always spoken about my Lord. And the reason is because he is real in me. I could speak of many other things, but it would take services after services after services to share all of the testimonies that God has written in my life. I just pray that you will be an open book for his pen to touch, that he might write into your lives what he wants to share with this world.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. DJ. DJ wants to share with us, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good morning, church. I've been here in this church, I guess, for about 10, 11, 12 years, something like that. And we always like to, when we pray, we want God to answer our prayers right away. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God don't just answer prayers for you right away. Not all the time. Long time ago, I prayed for this church to be filled. It took 10 years. Praise God. I sat way in the back one day when my wife was in the hospital and had to sit on a folding chair way back there. And this church has been filled. I seen it full. 10 years it took God to do it. I'm going to tell you a little story. On September the 10th, at 15 minutes to 2, the hardest prayer I ever prayed, that God would take my wife home. I had a new nurse that night. She'd prop my wife up so she could look at me on the right-hand side as I sat in the chair. And 5 minutes after 2, the new nurse said, "What was that noise?" I said, "It sounded like wind, but there's no wind." She put her scope up to my wife's heart and said, "Your wife just passed away." What a glorious moment that was. I was so much at peace, and my wife was looking at me with a smile. Never cried out. Never begged for nothing, never suffered. That moment in my heart, I believe God had her soul, and we heard it. That quick, God answers prayers. Whatever you do, folks, pray and believe that God will answer them in any time. And I'm sure there's people here that have prayed and have answers immediately. And other times you wished and hoped that he would answer your prayer. He will in time. Trust him, be obedient, and love God. He is the ultimate in your life. None other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.
Are y'all done? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Well, so I've been here about 2 years, and I gave my life to God, and when I gave my life, I gave at 100%. At 12 years old, I knew when I give my life that I was going to give it 100%. I was 48 when he called me. And what God is wanting each and every one of us to know, each and every one of us, he wants us to know that he wants to protect us just like your mother and father. When you're a kid, when you was raised up, mother and father, 3 years old, 5 years old, you obeyed mother and father and did what mother and father said. You looked at mother and father like they was the greatest. But the greatest is up ahead. He's our father, mother, our everything. He got a roadmap to everlasting life. It's the Bible. Live it, breathe it, each and every day, each and every breath that's going through your body. The moment you commit your sins and commit to him and repent your sins to him, the day you repent, you're a baby. Everybody go back to a baby. God want to take care of his babies and guide them the right way. And all he asks us to do is obey the Bible, be obedient. If you look around you, the world is doing everything that God says do not do. Think about it. Everything God says don't do, they do. And then you pray, you ask God for prayer, 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 and none of them are answered. Some of us blame God. Oh, he's not answering our prayers. But ask yourself, are we being obedient? Are we doing what he says? Or are we not doing what he says? And think about it. Look at the news across the world. Everything is happening.
Yep.
The world is doing not what God says do. And he's just like each and every one of us got homes. We own our house. We the head of our house. Our rules goes. This world, the whole kingdom is his house. And his rules is the Bible. There's no other way than the Bible. Either you for God or you're not. Amen. There's no in between. And that's just the bottom line. We can make up reason, make up thoughts or whatever. He is a king amongst kings, and what he says is go, and we cannot change it. Like he said, if you for me, you'll believe in me. Anything that you believe in, you do. And if you believe in God, you do as it say, his roadmap and nothing else. Forget about the world that's going on, all the bad stuff, and pick up the Bible and live. Yeah. And train yourself. Mold yourself. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. And always remember, he's a forgiving God. He forgive you all the way to every breath in your body. He's forgive you any given time, any time when nobody else will. He's there for you, and he's forgive you. And if you go to him and ask him, he want a one-on-one commitment with each and every one of us, each and every day, not just Sunday in church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, even if you're home in the backyard, bathroom, say a prayer to him. Thank him for the things that he do for you each and every day.
Amen.
And your lives have changed. My life has changed. I got married. And in 5 months, tremendous things are happening in my life. But we all have one fingerprint. Everybody in this church are unique, special. God made special because don't nobody else have a fingerprint like you. You're special. Just like we watch TV, you see all the special guys doing this. You think he's special, but you're special just like him. He's no better than you. Nobody no better than you. God went from the highest to the lowest. He was God and born into a manger with horses and cows. And he was God. He could do anything. And he lowered himself to the lowest. Just to let you know, ain't nobody better than one another. He made all us in the image of him. We all his children. And we need to love each other, just like he said. And that's the message that I have.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, buddy. I'd like to go ahead and, we're going to probably have to end, but this is wonderful because we could give testimonies all day long. And I just want to tell you guys, have you been inspired? Have you been inspired by hearing people and what God's doing in their life? This is what we need to do. You don't have to have a microphone to give a testimony. Remember that. And I challenge all of you with this before we close today. I'm going to challenge you with all of you with this. Sometime this week, take the time to find somebody and share with them what God has done. Because one of the things you'll find is it's going to bless you as much as it blesses everybody else. Amen? Stand up with me and let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. Father, you are great. You are good. You have blessed us so much. Thank you for the testimonies of all the people that came up here. And I thank you for the fact that we could have had a line, Lord, of the fact that people are willing to talk about what you've done in their lives. Thank you, God, for that. Help us to walk out this week and to share with people what you've done in our lives, because, Father, we need to declare it. Amen, brethren? We need to declare this, Father. We need to declare what you have done and never, ever be ashamed of you, Lord. So we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for this wonderful service, for the worship. Watch over us, Father. Bring us back here safely next week. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful evening.